If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time to have that conversation about the Chicago Bulls team. The two biggest flaws on the team that are definitely holding it back the most, and that's paint defense and rebounding. And they're becoming real problems already on this young part of the season. And with the trade deadline approaching quicker and faster than ever, Arturis Karnisova is facing one of the hardest questions of his tenure. Let's break it all down and get into the real questions behind what's going on with the Chicago Bulls and how they can fix it right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes. But more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. I want to talk about some of the biggest flaws with this Bulls team. And I know I went on a rant on it yesterday in the post-game show. So some of this is going to be familiar with some of those guys that were there. But we're going to go into like more of an analytical standpoint of it than just kind of, you know, ranting about it, right? And so it's two things that are really plaguing this Bulls team right now. Number one is points in the paint. The Pelicans scored 78 points in the paint last night. And when you look at that as well, the Bulls are giving up the most points scored in the paint by opponents on the season at 55.8 per game. 55.8, basically 56 points in the paint per game. And when you're looking at how easy points in the paint are, but then that also means that teams then start attacking you, which then leads to free throw attempts, which is another thing that plagues the Chicago Bulls, is that teams out free throw attempt them, right? But over the last three games, the Chicago Bulls are giving up a whopping 68 points in the paint per game. There is no doubt about it that points in the paint are one of the biggest flaws by the Chicago Bulls. And before anybody gets to typing, I'm going to stop y'all right there. This isn't just Nikola Vucevic. When you see points in the paint, you have to understand how they're getting those points in the paint. And it's not just Vooch, some big backing down Vooch for 78 points in the paint, right? That's not what's happening here. What's happening is that our weak perimeter defense, which we did start off this season, really overcoming by that hybrid zone that we were using with Ket, which kept the help defense always close, which means that our rotations were a lot more crisp when teams did try to penetrate. Now, we were still giving up tons of points in the paint at that time, but they weren't as efficient. And then on top of that, we were really guarding the three-point line really well, right? So now that those things have fallen off, and one of the questions that people legitimately had about this team was like, all right, is it that the Bulls' three-point shooting defense is so good, or are we just facing off teams that were cold from the field? And I, at the time, said that it was a bit of both, right? Now, I saw that this team was closing out hard and intentionally, and that was something that they were doing. They wanted to guard the three-point line really tough, and that led to giving up a little bit more points in the paint. But now it's becoming such a glaring hole for this team that you can't even excuse it by scheming at this point in time. The Bulls have to stop the bleeding, and they have to stop it from the interior. And until they do that, that is going to be a thing that continues to hold this team back. You're giving up way too many points in the paint. And like I said, it's not just Vooch. I'm not saying Vooch isn't part of the problem, because he absolutely is. But if you're going to have this team that has weak perimeter defenders, and now you've moved away from the zone defense that has helped you overcome that weak perimeter defense with pick and rolls and things like that, now you're back to looking at, well, Vooch can only play drop coverage. Oh, our guards, we don't have a lot of point of attack defenders. And so that becomes a glaring hole by this team. And, you can overcome that some if you are a super efficient offensive team, meaning that you can overcome some bad defensive efficiency, but your offense has to be so sound that it's almost unflappable, meaning that your offense is so good that you just know coming into the game, you're going to outscore opponents by that. The Bulls have fallen to 20th in offensive rating on the season. Over the last five games, they are 16th, but this is a team that started off top 10 in both offense and defense. And unfortunately, they're just not getting that anymore. Now, they're still, for the most part, efficient, right? A 60% true shooting percentage as a team, that's 10th in the NBA. ninth effective field goal shooting percentage. That is ninth in the NBA. So those things are still there. The Bulls are still having the high assist rate. 68% of our buckets are assisted. That's sixth in the NBA. So those things that contribute to an efficient offense, the bones of that are still there. It's the intentionality behind it. But we'll get to that, right? This Bulls defense and the amount of points that they give up in the paint is just unacceptable. And it's going to be unsustainable in how they could win consistently if teams know we just got to keep barreling into the Chicago Bulls. Even if our three-point shot's not falling, let's keep pick and roll. Let's keep doing these type of things to get to the rim. And we're either going to get points in the paint or we are going to get to the free throw line. But then there's a second part of this that's also plaguing the Chicago Bulls. And that is the rebounding as well, right? You looked at this after starting the season as one of the best rebounding teams in the game of basketball. I'm talking about the Bulls were like number two or three in defensive rebounding percentage and up there in offensive rebounding percentage as well. The Chicago Bulls have dropped now to 18th in rebounding percentage on the league. And while they do average the fourth most rebounds in the per game in the entire NBA, it's the rebounding percentage that matters because you can get a lot of rebounds because you're getting a lot of possessions, but what percentage of the rebounds that are you getting? So even though the Bulls are getting more rebounds than a lot of the NBA, when you actually play the Chicago Bulls, the teams are getting a higher percentage of the rebounds because the Bulls just aren't attacking the glass enough. And it's not just size that's a problem with that. I know a lot of people are going to go to, oh my God, the seven-footer, the fact that we don't have a seven-footer. I'm not saying that doesn't play a part, but what you're seeing in this game is that we're just getting outworked. We're just getting outworked. The Bulls are first in the league in defensive rebounds per game. But does it feel like it with how many second chance points that we give up? No, right? So being the number one defensive rebounding team in the league sounds all great and fine and dandy until you realize we're still giving up the second most second chance points in the league at 18.1 points per game. Let's pair that with the points in the paint. So you mean to tell me that 56 points in the paint and almost 20 second chance points as well? Now, some of those second chance points are going to be points in the paint as well. So there's an overlap there. But even if you want to say take away the part that are overlap, because some of those are on second chance points are kick out to wide open threes. If just want to cut it down the middle some, you're looking at about 60, 65, you know, easy points in the game. Second chance points, points in the paint. That's not even counting the points scored in the free throw line as well by some of these teams. The Bulls are simply getting outworked. And you see that in seeing these games. This isn't like you have teams that are just coming in and just always outskilling the Chicago Bulls or even teams that have beat the Bulls that have technically more talent on the roster. It's that the Bulls are getting outworked. And when you are a team that doesn't have point of attack defenders, we got Ayo, we got Okoro, we got Patrick Williams. That's basically it as far as point of attack defenders, right? Oh, Trey Jones as well. Let me not overlook Trey Jones. But when you don't have that number of guys in that, and especially not in your starting lineup, what do you need to do? You need to work so much of defense. You can be a top half of the league defensive team just if everybody on your roster buys in to the work and effort that they need to give on the defensive side of the ball. The Bulls aren't doing that. And we're seeing us get outworked. All that talk about physicality and stuff, we're seeing us get outworked by those things. These two flaws that the Bulls have are huge. And until the Bulls really, you know, dig deep and try to figure out how to correct that, these flaws are just going to keep continuing for the Chicago Bulls, and they're not going to stop anytime soon. And that's without talking about the offense. We aren't moving without the ball offensively anymore. We aren't doing that consistently. You know, coming into this season, I thought, yeah, Ayo, maybe Modest, right? These are two guys that are going to move without the ball consistently. Maybe a little bit of Daylen, Terry, and Julian in there as well. But then we started off the season, and we saw such crisp off-ball movement consistently from just about everybody. Now, that's when you had Trey Jones and Josh Giddey both in that starting lineup as well, but you saw that. And the Bulls have slowly but surely gotten away from that. This team has lost a little bit of identity, looked like they were building at the beginning of the season. And that's just the reality of it. Now, can they regain it back? Yeah, I think they can regain it back, and I even think they can still be better than that, right? Especially with Kobe being back here now, what he can do scoring-wise. But you got to stop settling for the dumbass three-point shots early in the shot clock. You got to stop bailing out the opposing team's, you know, defense when you do those things and not move without the ball. I had a rant last night on the show, and it's very simple. And basketball could be very simple at times in some of the principles of basketball. Ball movement, which we actually do pretty well with our assist percentage being at almost 69%, giggity. But if you add off-ball movement to that, that manipulates the defense. The whole point of moving the ball while moving off the ball is that you create seams, you create lanes. Either that lane is to get to the rim, try to get an easy shot or get to the foul line, or you create a lane to where you can pass out and you have an open three. That's what the idea of moving and those type of philosophies are, having a motion-based offense. Those are the principles that those are built off of. Unfortunately, the Chicago Bulls just don't do that, and they don't do it consistently. We started off the season doing it. We had success doing it, but this is why when you talk about teams that are changing things, you got to see how much that change is really going to stick in when you face some adversity. The Bulls faced adversity in that five-game losing streak and have not been able to reclaim the little bit of identity it looked like they were building when they were going through that streak, and that is part of the problem. Because now you have gotten back into this do-what offense, this button-mashing, three-point shooting offense that has never been the biggest success for the Chicago Bulls, and that is part of the problem that lies in here with this Bulls team and where they need to look to improve on and really dig in if they want to be better on the season. This is still a team I do think can still be above 500 this year, but they're not going to do that. Just because you have the potential to be that does not mean that you're going to do that if you don't work hard. This is not a Bulls team that is good enough to lollygag through anything. You have some teams that are good enough to say, that stretch in February, all right, we're going to try to still win all of them, but, you know, it's cool. We'll catch them in March. The Bulls don't have that. You got to come in here, and you have to outwork the team that's in front of you every single day. You do not have the luxury to not outwork these motherfuckers. And that's what the Bulls have to get back to as far as forging some identity, is how do you outwork these teams? And until the Bulls find that answer, man, we're going to keep seeing losses like this. We're going to see some good wins in there like Denver, but we're going to see some losses like this as well, like against the Pelicans. Let's hope that the Bulls can start correcting that. Now, with that said, we're going to move into the next topic for today, where I want to talk about the hard question that Arturis Karnisova is going to be met with leading into this trade deadline. So the question for AK becomes this. Will the Bulls president of basketball operations be willing to part with some of his roster depth and maybe even some future cap flexibility to address the needs that the team has right now, right? AK has typically been a GM that has played it safe, and he does not like to disrupt team chemistry during the season with major mid-season trades, right? Coming into the season, the quote from AK was this: "We will not skip steps. We are evaluating for long-term fit." And after seeing this team at this point, seeing how often they get out-rebounded and outworked, the question then becomes to this for me. My response to that not skipping steps and evaluating for long-term fit is, what would be, are you ready to look at the long-term needs over players? You already have questions if they're going to be part of the long-term fit. What about that? What about looking at the long-term needs of this team? Needs that, to be frank, AK has ignored for years. Rim protection, size, like those type of things have been a thing that have been here and that Bulls have been a problem in every iteration of this team since AK has taken over. So that's my response to this. I'm not saying that the Bulls need to do something like a trade the size of Anthony Davis. Trading for a $60 million player, I'm not at all saying that is what this team needs to do. I know some people, because of the rumors, and when they hear rumors, that becomes their opinion. I'm not saying that, right? But I am saying this. I think you need to use the time from when you come back from this break, December, right? So you have two games left. It already was announced that, you know, they're hoping that Zach Collins is going to be able to return after the stretch of games this week. So that means next week they're hoping he's going to be able to return to full practice, and we'll see how long his return to the court is. But from December until the end of January, how do you evaluate this team right now, right? You don't need to make a huge trade. And I'll say this, and in no way am I saying that the Bulls are in the same position as this Dallas Mavericks team, because that team had Luka. The Chicago Bulls team does have Josh Giddey, who's on an amazing run so far this season, but it's kind of slowed down a little bit over the last couple of games. But that team made a couple of minor moves, bringing in P.J. Washington, Daniel Gafford, adding that to Derek Lively, who they drafted and was able to trade for with their draft pick. Those type of things, right? This team, the things that they need would drastically change the way that this team operates. Having a legit low post option, or a rim-running big that also can block shots and can switch defensively, that can be a defensive anchor for you, would change a lot. Now, the question becomes about, is that guy legitimately out there? And that's a legit question. But my question becomes to AK then is, what are you willing to do for this version of this team to fix flaws that have existed for so long? That's what the question that I have here. I get it. The cap flexibility that the Bulls are going to have next year, next summer, looks great, right? Looking at, you know, the ability to have $110 million in cap space. Yeah, you got some cap holds and other things like that, but, you know, that is what it is. But being able to look at those things and say, hey, we got $90 million almost in expiring contracts. What percentage of that, plus our draft capital, plus our trade exceptions, whatever it is, are we willing to use to improve this team now? Again, not saying the trade like the size of AD, not saying John Morant, not saying any of those things, but going out and strategically adding somebody that brings an added dynamic to this team that you are surely missing. And that is going to be the question that AK has to ask himself leading into this. I get it. Flexibility is a great thing. It's a power in this league that many GMs would not give up unless they are surefire for the direction that they're headed in. And that's really what this comes down to, is that how much does AK really trust what he has built here to go out and say, listen, I know we got players in Zach Collins, Kevin Huerter, Nikola Vucevic, Ayo Dosunmu, Kobe White, right? Others, Dalen Terry is expiring as well for whatever that's worth, right? I know that we have these expiring contracts, but some of these guys just can't make the cut. Not even if you don't want them to make the cut and you look at, but some of these guys can't make the cut because you have to make space for something new in your roster some type of way. And so if you want to change something, you have to give something up to get that done. You're not going to just be able to change something and hold on to everything. And that's what AK has tried to do. And for some, he's been able to do it in some varying degrees of things, right? But when you look at all these expiring contracts, Vooch, Zach Collins, Kevin Huerter, Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu, Javon Carter, Dalen Terry, who's a restricted free agent, right? All these contracts that you have, even going into next season, you still have a number of expiring contracts as well. Isaac Okoro is expiring. Jalen Smith is expiring. Trey Jones is expiring, at next year, where he does have a team option in that third year as well. So you have to get that done. You have to look at that and have a true evaluation of it so you can see what you got to do going forward. That is going to be the thing, and that's something that I did say coming into the season, is that seeing if AK sits on his hands when it comes to assets again, or does he get aggressive? It doesn't have to be the big splash move. It doesn't have to be the going all-in move. But do you get a little bit more creative by going out there and trying to fix something that your team is surely lacking? And I guess we'll see if AK has the resolve to be able to do that. We shall see. But let me know your guys' thoughts on that down below. But I think that these first two games out of this stretch have reaffirmed the fact that there is no such thing as an easy stretch for the Chicago Bulls team. Let the Wizards win and the Pelicans loss highlight the fact of why it's so hard for some people to trust this team. That is why, listen, even when the Bulls were on their five-game winning streak, when they came out of that, when they, you know, then still won some games, or even, like, I understand people's pessimism. I do. I don't always agree. We're going to play one voicemail that I don't necessarily agree, but I understand, right? But, you know, yeah, the Bulls are missing players in both games, and some of the more optimistic people are going to point to that. And listen, you're still valid in that. But at the end of the day, right, this is still a team that has disappointed already this season multiple times. Now you have a three-day break, right, over the holiday before you come back out and play two games for the rest of this week over the Hornets and the Pacers. And the thing that I continue to challenge this team with is, can you win the week? Now to win the week, it means you have to win two in a row. Can you do that against the Hornets and the Pacers? Again, winnable games, but there are no such thing as easy games for this version of the Chicago Bulls team, because they don't work hard enough at it. So now let's see what this team can go out and do this season. And if they can come out of this and play a little bit better, we shall see. But all right, we got one voicemail after yesterday's game that I want to play. This one comes from TJ.
Yo, what's up, hey? This is TJ from the low end. You know how people be saying that teams aren't as bad as their record? I can 110% say that the Bulls are worse than their record shows. I've been lying to you, bro. It's like, teams see the Bulls and they just know that they finna have 140 games. Like, I'm so serious, dude. I don't understand it. We gave two of the worst offenses in the league 140 point games. I just don't get it. It feels like the past six games they've given up. Actually, I could go check that right now. One second. Let me see. Pelicans, 143. My fault. Pelicans 143. Heat 143. Well, it's a lot less than I thought, but at least it feels like it's given every other game is going to be one for you, bro. Teams see the Bulls and they know that they finna have a career night. The 15 player on the bench is going to have a 140 night. Like, I just don't get it, bro. Defense is a suggestion for them. At this point, I'm not saying this all Billy Donovan, but this man, he be too lax on that sideline for me, bro, for this team to not be putting forth no effort. Why aren't you cussing them out? Like, I don't care if they grown men, bro. They not even trying. Cuss them out. Get in. Pause. That was going to sound terrible, but get on them, bro. Like, I can't. I really can't. They be disappointing me so much. They find a new way to disappoint me every game. I can't wait till they get their little winning streak, get everybody back wild in just for us to see them in another play-in game. I don't see them going to the playoffs no more. I'm not going to lie to you. This is 100% a play-in team. 100%. 100% a play-in team. Yeah, bro, that's it.
The Bulls are worse than the record. That is absolutely funny. Here's the thing. I don't agree with everything you said, but I understand it. Right? I understand what you're rooted at with this team. And to your point, teams know and teams understand that if they compete and fight hard, they can beat the Bulls by just hard work, consistently working hard in a game, game in and game out. You can beat the Chicago Bulls team. And that message is out there in the NBA. And as long as teams know that, why would teams ever give up and quit? No matter if the Bulls get out to a 10-point lead, whether the opposing team gets out to a 10-point lead and the Bulls get it down to 12, no team in the NBA right now is probably looking at this Bulls team and being like, oh, damn, we out of this one. They're probably looking at it and being like, hey, listen, let's just keep beating them up. We're going to eventually get back in this game because it's the Chicago Bulls. And you can't blame them for that, right? So, you know, like I said, don't necessarily agree with everything that you said, but I understand because it's all everything you said because it's all rooted in things that we're seeing about this team legitimately. And can they fix it? That becomes about it. Discover some of that identity, get a little bit of that back, and then let's see where we're at on the other side of that. And let's hope that the Bulls can start being on the right side of some of these easy games, because right now ain't shit easy for the Chicago Bulls at all, and that's on them. That's really all in their control. But that's my time for today, guys. The issues that we're seeing with this team are real, and they're not going away unless the Bulls address them head on, and that a lot comes down to coaching with Billy Donovan as well. But now I want to hear from you guys. Drop your thoughts, your takes, and your trade ideas down below on what you think the Chicago Bulls should do. You can also send us a voicemail and our text. I'll tell you guys how to do that. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, stay safe, see red, and always go Bulls. Love you guys. Peace, y'all.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.